Hello, this is Attorney Marco Schiavo from Simmons & Schiavo. Financial planning and estate planning go hand in hand. If you think about it, you start your first job, and you open up a checking account, and then you save some money, and open up a savings account or CD, and then from there, you may open up a mutual fund, and you hire a financial advisor who helps your money grow and helps you plan for retirement. The estate planning attorney will help you in preserving your assets and passing them on to your loved ones. So I have with me today Mr. Dan Wilson from the GW Group. He is an excellent financial advisor. He will be speaking a little bit about retirement and first savings for college and also about retirement. Dan, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Marco, for having me. Thought it would be good to give a quick background of myself. So I was a graduate of Bentley College with a degree in finance. I've been doing this now for 20 years as a certified financial planner. I'm a franchise owner at Ameriprise Financial, and we rarely work with clients, you know, on three main goals. One is retirement planning, two is education planning, and then really something that, you know, things around real estate, whether it's home purchases, home improvements. So I think those are the big core factors, and certainly anything we can do to help reduce a client's tax liability is always something we'll help people out with. So thanks for having me here today.
Absolutely. And that's our goal too, is really maximizing the amount of wealth that gets passed on and minimizing taxes, estate taxes specifically. So let's just sort of a general, you know, what's a good course of action when the market becomes volatile?
It's a great question because we haven't seen a lot of market volatility lately. I always say financial goals in investing should be predicated on a couple of things. What's the financial goal? What's the time frame behind that financial goal? And then what risk are you willing to take? And in a good market, people tend to want to take on more risk. In a bad market, they want to take on less. And a lot of investing becomes more emotional based and fundamental based. So from a course of action, I would reassess what that time frame is, clearly understanding what the risk levels are, but reviewing your asset allocation and making sure you're comfortable with the risk that you're taking. But for a lot of times when the market gets volatile, the best course of action is not to do anything. You know, to stay the course. With the world of instant gratification that we're in, investing tends to be a long-term, long process that you just need to stay the course and allow things to work themselves out more than anything else.
Right, and that's what you're investing for. You understand that the market moves up and down, but if you look at it long-term, that's the way to really look at it.
Long-term risk is reduced over time, and it doesn't matter.
Right. So what are some good strategies for savings for college? We have a number of clients who have children in high school and are planning for college. What are some of the good strategies for savings?
So I think when it comes to education planning, there's a couple of factors that you want to take a look at. Do you want tax deferral? Do you want liquidity? Are you trying to hurt or help yourself from a financial aid perspective? Is financial aid even going to matter? Depending on what your hot buttons are will then dictate sort of the vehicle. So as an example, just creating a liquid investment portfolio where you are the owner, you are the controller. The downside of that is when you have a liquid investment portfolio, you have to pay taxes on the earnings, the dividends and interest, but you have liquidity. And if your child doesn't go to school, then mom or dad can retire earlier. There are the popular 529 plans. Those 529 plan accounts are designed for a post-high school education. So whether it's college, a trade school, a master's program, the money's going tax deferred, and then will come out tax-free for a post-high school education. But if you don't use the money for college and withdraw it, then you will pay penalties and taxes on the earnings. So you're really deciding that that's going to be for an education vehicle. There are education IRAs out there, also known as Coverdell IRAs now, where you're allowed to put away up to $2,000 a year per child. There are some income caps involved. The money can be used for any type of education, whether it's private high school, college, so a little bit more flexible. The downside is income limits, and you're capped at $2,000 a year. So for a lot of people, that's not enough. There are custodial accounts, also known as like a UTMA account, which is known as the Uniform Trust of Minors Act, or a UGMA account, which is a Uniform Gift to Minors Act. It is a place where you can stick money for a child's college education, but the benefits are the money can be used for anything. Help buy a car for that child, help them buy their first property, maybe it helped them get married. But there are some nuances around the tax code in regards to the tax liability involved, as there's earnings on those accounts. And at age 21 in Massachusetts, the child has a legal right to those assets. So there are some things you need to be aware of, right? So I do think positioning of assets, like you can use IRAs or Roth IRAs for a child's college education. The benefit is it's looked at as a retirement asset, not an education asset. So it really comes down to what your priorities are.
Right, and that's a something that we see all the time is people sort of planning for college, but also thinking about their retirement.
Sure.
And so if we could address that a little bit, planning for retirement, how much money do I need to save in order to retire it? That target age of 65.
Yeah, so there's a delicate balance, right? So as we transition from education planning to retirement planning, the one comment that I always make is, I've yet to see in my 20-year career a child pay for their parents' retirement. So if you don't do the right things financially, you just don't retire. There's no such thing as taking a loan for your retirement where, Johnny can take out the loan for school and, have 40 years to pay it off, and nobody says mom and dad can't help them. But when it comes to retirement, the question I do get asked a lot is, how much do I need? And I always turn around saying, it's not how much you need in retirement, it's what your expenses are going to be, right? So if you don't have a mortgage in retirement, and your kids are out of school and out of the house and off of payroll, then you certainly need a lot less than you do today. So really driving home on what your expenses will be in retirement is something that we take a hard look at, which I think is critical. But if I'm giving a dollar range, typical married couple in the greater 495 belt and inside, at a minimal, I say target number is $1.5 million, clearly to $3 million. And I know that's a wide range, but there's a lot of factors involved there. Single individual can obviously get away at a lot less, but it will come down to what your committed expenses are versus what your discretionary happiness will be.
Okay. And then how about an emergency fund? And people want to save for an emergency fund.
Yeah. So the old, the College of Financial Planning will say you should have 3 to 6 months of your committed expenses in the bank. Again, what's the committed expense? Mortgage payment, electric bill, things that you're required to pay regardless of whether or not that you're working. In hard dollars, I love to see a single individual have somewhere between 10 to 15K in the bank. Married couple, with children, 20 to 30. Anything less than that should make them sweat. But really driving off of what is the committed expense number in at least 3 months of that.
Excellent, excellent. Dan, how can people reach you?
So that's simple. Really one of a couple ways. Now with social media everywhere, I guess. So phone number is 617-500-4225. Again, 617-500-4225. They can go to our website, which is DanTWilson.com, so literally DanTWilson.com. They can check us out on Facebook, certainly all social media platforms.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for joining us on the show today.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. And if you'd like to contact me, it's Marco Schiavo at Simmons & Schiavo, 781-397-1700, or on our website, www.simmonsandschiavo.com, www.simmonsandschiavo.com. Thank you.